I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are going to talk about the cost of those eggs at the grocery store and what happens before they even get there. Joining me today is Josh Balk. He is the Vice President of Farm Animal Protections at the Humane Society of the United States. So welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks for having me on.
What I wanted to talk about is recently in Utah, we just passed a law that chickens can no longer be in a cage. They have to be cage-free if you are an egg-producing farm or company. But cage-free doesn't mean there's no cage involved.
Cage-free means that chickens are not confined in cages. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have vast fields or a large pasture. That's more of pasture eggs or often organic eggs. Cage-free is a big step in the right direction, though, because most chickens are confined in tiny cages. And Heather, like, these cages are the size of a home microwave. They can barely move an inch. In fact, they can't even spread their wings. So getting chickens out of those tiny cages into what is typically a barn, where they are able to engage in basic behaviors like perching and scratching and laying eggs in a nest, that's a big step forward, and Utah should be proud of what it just did.
Well, my understanding in doing research in this is that there wasn't a lot of governance on what cage-free meant, and there are a lot of egg manufacturers who, oh yeah, our eggs are cage-free, but all that meant was they got an extra inch and a half all the way around the circumference of their cage, and that was legal to call it cage-free.
No, that's definitely not true. Fortunately, cage-free does mean cage-free, no cages at all. What the Utah bill does is have a standard for cage-free. It's as a certain stocking density standard. That's a standard to ensure enrichments. It mandates perches, dust-based bathing areas, nesting areas. It's a similar standard that has been passed, as you accurately said, in numerous other states like California, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, Colorado, and hopefully other states to come. So at this point, it is at the high bar of what a standard is for cage-free, though at the same time, consumers should know if they don't want to buy eggs from caged chickens. The other options out there, if you buy eggs, is cage-free or free-range or organic or pasture. Those are certainly steps in a better direction for the treatment of eggs.
Well, let's go back 30, 40 years. And if I just walked into a grocery store and picked up my carton of a dozen eggs, and at the time they would have been about 70 cents, 75 cents for the dozen, those eggs came from a hen in a cage, most likely, for that price.
Oftentimes over the past several decades, those eggs cost that amount. And it has been since World War II that chickens have been brought from the outside to the inside and then inside tiny cages. But increasingly, though, cage-free is becoming the norm. In fact, just a few years ago, it was roughly low single digits percentage of egg-laying hens in the United States were free from cages. Now we're about 30% of the egg industry is cage-free. And Heather, that's about 97 million egg-laying chickens in the United States who will never know the suffering and pain of being confined in a cage. And because the industry is shifting this way with new technology, innovation, a better equipment, the cost of cage-free is actually coming down dramatically too.
Well, yeah, so you've sort of gone on to my next point is, you know, if today I could walk in and get a dozen eggs from the standard of how the eggs are produced in a cage chicken where they, like you said, they have no room to spread their wings or stand up or anything, and they're like that for their entire lives. They get no break from
that position.
And that dozen eggs would cost me right around a dollar. But if I was to buy cage-free, we're talking $3.50, $4. I've even seen them as high as $5 for a dozen eggs. So if I'm a farmer or a producer of eggs and I don't have to pay for cages, you know, that's a cost to pay for all those cages, and I just have an open space for them, why are the eggs for chickens in a cage so much less expensive?
You know, right now in grocery stores, if you see eggs that cost, you know, as you mentioned, about $5, that is well beyond what the minimum cage-free standard is. Typically, cartons that are $5, that probably is organic or pasture, which has much, much higher standards. You know, has, you know, outdoor access in organics. They have organic feed as part of the standard, which also raises the cost. So that, you know, is certainly a specialty type of egg. The baseline cage-free carton that we're not talking about, you, the conditions such as outdoors or the standard in terms of the feed being organic, that should cost a few pennies more per egg. In fact, right now, Arby's, Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, and McDonald's, you know, these are not companies known for selling very expensive products. They're all either 100% cage-free already or very close to it. And no one has seen any of these costs go up at all for these companies. And so, you know, in grocery stores, you're going to see the costs go down more and more and more. And the big thing is, and you mentioned when you're looking for cage-free, I think it's important for people, you know, to really absorb the idea that if the eggs don't say cage-free or free-range or pasture organic, if they say anything else, you know, like family farm or vegetarian fed, and doesn't mention those other attributes, it means that the carton does have eggs from caged chickens. And that's important to know because right now in law, it doesn't mandate that producers have to put on the carton eggs from caged chickens. So consumers just have to be aware to avoid those type of eggs if they're buying eggs in the first place.
We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to delve into that just a little bit more. And you mentioned something about vegetarian fed chickens, and I want to go into that. So we'll be right back with Josh Bulk. He is the Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way, money-wise, we're talking about it. And today we're going over the cost of eggs and why some are cheaper than others and why you should care about that. Joining me today is Josh Bulk. He is the Vice President of Farm Animal Protections for the Humane Society of the United States. Josh, in the last segment, we went over the differences between a caged hen, cage-free, and pasture-raised hens, and that affects the price you pay at the grocery store. But you mentioned something really briefly. You know, there's all these catchphrases now, and people are trying to buy healthy, and you walk up to a carton, and instead of them just saying eggs, they do have what you said there, family farm eggs, or vegetarian fed chickens, which as a vegetarian myself, I'm going, ooh, that sounds great. But hens need protein. Hens should not, like, when they are out in the wild, they are like eating worms and little bugs and creatures. They should not be solely vegetarian fed. So I don't see that as an actual really good advertisement for your eggs.
You are right that chickens naturally are omnivores. And when they're out in the fields, they are pecking around on the ground, not just for seeds, but also for insects, worms, and other things to eat. And so it is true that the type of diet they're typically fed that is without those other types of insects, it is unnatural. At the same time, the most unnatural part of egg production, though, is confining these chickens in cages. Because naturally, they would be walking around, scratching on the ground. You know, when we're driving on the road, we often see birds on the side dust bathing, and birds do that to clean their feathers. We see birds go in a nest to lay their eggs. These are just very basic natural behaviors that birds should be able to do to have a good life. And the most unnatural aspect that I think our focus should be on is the idea of confining them in a cage. And each chicken in a cage has less space than a sheet of paper to live on for entire life. And that's more than a year and a half. Just imagine a chicken living in a space that's less than a sheet of paper for her entire life. That's why we're working so hard to move the egg industry away from confining hens in cages. That's why we're encouraging everybody, if you do buy eggs, to not buy eggs from caged chickens. Really have a keen eye to look out for the cairns that ensure that the birds were not confined in cages. And if we work together on this and other states pass similar laws like Utah, we can succeed and make sure there are no chickens in cages.
What would you say to people who are on a fixed income or lower income and they can barely afford to buy just the basic carton of eggs as the price stands now? Because the chickens that are caged for their lives, like you said, are the cheapest eggs you can get.
Well, there are a lot of grocery stores out there that have cage-free in their private label cartons, which brings the cost down. And so if you are at a fixed income and if you choose to buy eggs, if you look for the private label eggs, they should be pretty affordable. At the same time, you know, what we have found in passing these laws and passing ballot measures where people actually voted to ban these practices is that no matter what someone's income level was, and fortunately, too, no matter what someone's political view was, Democrat, Republican, Independent, people overwhelmingly voted to ban this practice. And when it comes to animals, it's such a great unifier for us. I mean, we all know we're living in this political state right now in this country where it seems like no one can agree on anything and everyone's on polar sides on every issue and there's such hatred and vitriol. But when it comes to animals, we can unify. We can come together. And when it comes to farm animals, we have come together and agree that farm animals should not be in cages, no matter what excuses were used to put them there in the first place decades ago. Let's move on. We've improved as a society and at minimum sure that these animals are not in cages.
And if you are able to afford the better, what I consider the better eggs, I did a comparison once when I first started transitioning over from cage eggs to cage free, or I actually get the pasture raised eggs, but the color of the yolks are completely different. If you buy an egg from a hen that has lived in a cage her whole life, barely able to move, the yolk is like the palest yellow. But if you get a cage free or a pasture raised egg, it's this deep, rich amber color, and the taste is better as well. So I would say for your cooking and everything, it's a much better egg.
Yeah, that's a side effect of animals who live in better conditions are frankly producing products that reflect that they're living in better conditions. You know, it's no surprise that, first of all, you're right, that when people look at products from animals who are raised in a way that's completely inappropriate and how they should be and ought to be raised, it leads to other issues. And you mentioned about the yolks being different and the flavor being different. It also leads to food safety issues. You know, eggs from caged chickens are more likely to have salmonella. Dozens and dozens of studies have showed that. Chickens, you know, confined in cages by the millions in these warehouses are also more likely to suffer from zoonotic diseases. And so if we care about food safety, if we care about reducing zoonotic diseases, which means diseases that are spread among animals that sadly can even leap to humans, we should move animals to better conditions, even just for those reasons alone, let alone for them to have a better life themselves, too.
You bring up another point here about the salmonella, and I'm not sure that a lot of people know that when a chicken lays its egg, the egg comes out with this coating on it. I can't remember what it's called, but that coating protects the egg, the inside, if a chick was to be growing inside, from illnesses and diseases that could penetrate the shell of the egg. But when we get a hold of it, especially egg manufacturers, all these eggs come off the assembly line, they wash off that protective coating, which the eggshell is porous, and then we spray it with a chemical to disinfect it, essentially. But if that eggshell is porous, where is that disinfectant going?
You know, that's a very good point, is that eggshells are porous, and, you know, there are a lot of washing mechanisms that the egg industry uses, and certainly, you know, whatever is on the outside of the egg, as long as it's fluid, it finds the cracks and it gets in inside the egg to begin with. And so, you know, that I would love to know studies that reflect, you know, how that affects the nutrient levels and frankly, the food safety levels of it. I think some studies should be done on that. What I can say is that with salmonella being, you know, a leading cause of illness of consuming food and cases from salmonella increasing due to consumption of eggs from caged chickens, that should be concerning for us as well. And also, Heather, what I'd say is that, you know, with COVID-19, you know, COVID-19 is a zoonotic disease that, you know, jumped to humans. You know, and this isn't the first one. There was avian influenza in the United States in 2015 that fortunately didn't leap to people. There was avian influenza a year ago in North and South Carolina, fortunately, again, that didn't leap to people. There was swine flu that did leap to people. This is all in the United States. And so what we have lived through over the past year, this nightmare that we've lived through, according to the UN, the idea of confining animals together in packed situations increases the risk of another COVID-19 situation happening.
So it's basically worth it in the long run for us to just get rid of cages humanitarian-wise. But also, even if we have to pay a little bit more in the grocery store for the cage-free or the pasture-raised eggs, it behooves us all to do that so that we aren't creating those situations where if the hens come down with some disease, it then can leap to humans.
You know, sometimes common sense aligns with science. And in this case, just imagine 8 chickens in a small cage the size of a microwave. If one gets sick, you can imagine all of them getting sick. And when there's millions of them, it's so easy for the disease to mutate. And so absolutely, in the short term, for reducing salmonella, in the short term, for ensuring better treatment of the animals, but yes, in the long term, for having a safer world for us all, it does behoove all of us to move farm animals out of cages and to do what we can as consumers to push industries in a better direction.
We need to take one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap everything up, find out if there's anything else we can do as a population to try to move everybody away from caged hens. So we'll be right back with Josh Balk. He is the Vice President of Farm Animal Protections at the Humane Society of the United States. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today we are talking about eggs, a little bit about how much they cost in the grocery store, but we have to go through why they cost what they do. And that's basically what our conversation is today. Joining me is Josh Balk. He is the Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States. So Josh, I know that cage-free eggs are slightly more expensive than cage eggs, but you said that the price is going down a bit. When or if will we ever see organic and pasture-raised eggs come down in price?
Pasture and organic is likely going to go down a little bit, but not as much as cage-free, mostly because there isn't much more one can do for efficiency when you have animals out in the pasture. By the way, it's a good thing they're out in the pasture. They should be out in the pasture. And so if one does buy eggs, then supporting farmers who have animals on pasture is certainly something that one can do to lend their voice and their dollars against the confinement of animals in cages. Eventually, all the eggs in the United States are going to be cage-free. Now, we're moving in that direction. And when a state like Utah passes a law like it just did, it's reflective that it's going to happen. Virtually every major grocery store, fast food chain, restaurant chain has committed to eventually go cage-free entirely. I mentioned earlier the restaurant chains like McDonald's, Arby's, Taco Bell, and others. But there's more like Walmart and Costco, Albertsons, Safeway, Kroger. These major grocery stores have all pledged to eventually only sell cage-free eggs. And so when we have economies of scale, that's when cage-free costs are going to go further and further down. In fact, go back to McDonald's for a second. When they announced they're going 100% cage-free for all their eggs, they publicly stated it's not going to raise the cost of any of the breakfast items, even a penny. And so we're going to go in a direction that gets these animals in cages. It's a matter of time. We can all do our part. And I have to believe it is in all of us to believe that these animals shouldn't be in cages. And so all we ask is for people to purchase in a way that reflects their own values that they already have, that animals ought to be treated well.
I've just never understood why, if you don't have to buy all these cages for the chickens, why does it always cost more, even if it's only a few pennies, if they're not in a cage?
It costs a few pennies more per egg, at least at this point, because animals have more space. And so in a given barn, instead of confining millions of chickens in cages, because they're cage-free and they can't just be stacked on top of each other in cages, then there might be thousands of chickens in a barn. So the output of a given barn is less. Therefore, the cost is up a bit more. Oh. However, with the efficiency, though, of the new equipment in cage-free, that even when there is more space for these birds and there's more environmental enrichments like the perches and the dust-breathing areas and scratching areas, the newer equipment reduces the costs to the point where I believe McDonald's is probably right. We're not going to really notice the price difference.
Just to go over the categories of eggs that we have available to us, we have caged eggs, which don't say that on the carton that you buy.
That's right.
But the hens who lay those eggs that you might be buying have zero room to stretch their feathers, stand up, nothing for the year and a half of their life that they live and just, you know, putting out eggs. A cage free means they don't have a cage. They may have a barn, but it doesn't necessarily mean they actually get to go out into a pasture. They may only have the barn available
Correct.
To them. But pasture raised truly means like, hey, yeah, they got out of their coop every day. They went out into the pasture. They saw the sun. Because in a barn, they may not see sunlight either.
You nailed it. You nailed it. And, you know, the idea is, the difference between cage-free and pasture, those are pretty close. The difference is pretty close. Is it better the animals are outdoors? Absolutely much better, for sure. But it's still close compared to cage-free and cage, where it is a vast difference between being confined in a small cage where the chicken can't move to at least being in a barn where she can run around in the barn and engage in basic behavior. So that's where the big difference is.
When you say that, are there actual limits on how many chickens you can have per square feet in a barn? Because I can see somebody going, yeah, my hens don't have a cage, but there are so many that they can barely walk around in that barn.
Right. You're exactly right. And that's why there are stocking density requirements in all of these laws that we have passed. And when I say stocking density, it means that you can't overcrowd the animals in a given barn. And so, you know, in these situations where birds are cage-free, there are requirements between with how many birds can be in a given barn. And that allows the animals to at least be able to run around and not be just cramped on top of each other. Because that hypothetical farmer that you just talked about, we don't want that farmer to be able to get away with the idea of piling chickens on top of each other. And so, yes, that is one of the reasons why laws like Utah is so critical, to have that minimum standard in place so birds aren't just piled on top of each other and then the eggs are sold as cage-free.
Okay. If everybody can afford it, please just stretch a few pennies more to buy cage-free eggs. But if you have an even greater budget than that, I would recommend pasture-raised, because the chickens actually get to go out and see the sunlight. And then we know there's no risk of them, when they're pasture-raised, being piled on top of each other in a barn.
That is certainly the direction of better treatment of animals, the way you laid it out.
Okay. All right. Anything else we need to know about chickens and eggs and buying at the grocery store?
I hope people just know how powerful they are, because when they purchase eggs, if they do, the power they have on what they decide has a meaningful change in the lives of animals. It shouldn't be regarded for any of us as just a throwaway thing that we do in a grocery store. Our decision will dramatically impact animals. And just by moving away from buying eggs from cage chickens, that is a big impact each and any one of us can make in the lives of so many animals, especially throughout our lifetime. And we have a lot of power to do so.
Thank you so much, Josh Bulk. Again, you are the Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.